And also similarly, I heard another story. This is from the 60s. A Tibetan, someone I knew, met a Westerner, and they had discussions about Buddhism. And in fact, this Western person expressed a tremendous admiration to the Buddhist teachings, and said that, you know, the Buddhist teachings embody one of the highest teachings on compassion, tolerance, forgiveness, and so on and so forth. And then at the end, he warned the Tibetan. He said, "But at the core of all of this is a nihilism. In the final analysis, Buddhists would say there is no self, there is nothing out there, there is nothing, and there is, you have no real basis for any of these." So it shows that there is a real scope for misunderstanding emptiness, the profound teachings on emptiness, and viewing it as some form of nihilism.
Oh yeah.
So because of this scope for misunderstanding the teaching of emptiness as a teaching of nihilism, and also because of the difficulty of the subtlety and the profundity of the teachings of emptiness, we find that even within the Buddhist, even among the Buddhist schools, there are schools such as Vaibhashika and Sotrantika schools who accept the idea of no self, the teachings on no self, only in relation to the person, not in relation of all things and events. And because they feel that unless you ground your perception of reality in some kind of elemental constituents, something that is permanent, something that is stable, then there is no possibility of accounting for the reality that we all experience. Therefore, Sotrantikas and Vaibhashikas, they try to understand the nature of physical reality in terms of positing the ultimate constituents as what they call indivisible atoms or indivisible particles. And these indivisible particles are said to be unitary, permanent, and stable. And they then constitute the sort of ultimate reality, out of which then arises the microscopic world that we can all experience. And so they ground the reality of physical world to these ultimate constituents, which are indivisible particles. Similarly, they account for the reality of the mental world by positing indivisible units of consciousness or units of thought and consciousness, which are said to be the ground from which then arises the experience, our consciousness, and so on. So they limit the understanding of the Buddha's teaching on no self only in relation to person and self, but not in relation to all things and events. And because of this, in fact, they would go to the extent criticize the teachings on emptiness of all phenomena, saying that it is nihilistic. So from, and sometimes even Vaibhashikas and Sotrantikas go to the extent of rejecting the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras as not being authentic and genuine teachings of the Buddha.
다 용주대 샹왕군다 요동대 애니 용수도와 나 거래 생기 다 실루 다 가서 그게 실루 다 춘이대 춘이 용수도 되네 전제도 춘이대 애니 찾아본 원리로 동아래 찾아봐 애니 모두 봤지 그때 속사 그래 이미지산에 나와 간다 시신이 너네 애니 숨셔버 디기 단다디 콜로 참에 대하셔버 너 시신 나 공부도 했고 그래 시산에 시신은 뭐라야 시신은 뭐라야 하는데 이네 시신이 무신이 치기리 너 시신 캐나가 치버이나 애니 군대를 누구도 사네 더더 시신에는 숨은 날 이거 봐기 쳐 뉴질이 쳐도 뉴마시고 쳐 탐절러리야 이해하면 해보시네 탐절 못 이루고 또 숨겨야리 대단하 아니 시장 샹왕대 랑승이 모두바리 시장 샹왕 랑승이 모두바 이나 라인 70매대 70 용신매대 인도자네 아니 신이 샤토마리지 라 동신매나 아니 가서 또 샤토마리 근데 이 인도자네 가다 인생이 수많을 고등도 근데 이 인도자 대인 시진 광동대 콜로 탁대 가서 저 너도 광대가 짜는 시진 아 아니 시진 광도 또 그래 다 시진자네 아야 로터스네 하마데
and then
나라야 최다메로 나라야르티 이네 최다메로 코알란다디 노하셰 아니 로덕 팀에 빠버레 로덕 팀에 내
and then there are of course those such as the mind only school who although have admiration for the teachings of the perfection of wisdom scriptures and the emptiness teachings of emptiness and also they accept the idea of emptiness of all phenomena of all things and events. However, they do not accept, as I explained before, the literal truth of the teachings of the perfection of wisdom scriptures, because they argue that if we were to accept the literal reading of the perfection of wisdom scriptures, then in the perfection of wisdom scriptures there is a uniform treatment of all phenomena, all things and events across the board, uniformly being presented as empty of inherent existence, being devoid and being absent of intrinsic reality. And the mind-only school argue that this literal reading of the rejection of negation of intrinsic reality of all phenomena across the board, uniformly, cannot be accepted literally because it would constitute nihilism. And so they therefore interpret the meaning of emptiness in relation to different contexts. And they do so according to what is known as the three natures theory, the theory of the three natures, these being the dependent nature, the imputed nature, and the ultimate nature. And according to this, they divide the reality into three categories, the dependent phenomena, imputed phenomena, and ultimate phenomena or ultimate truth. And they argue, so when they speak about this, then they take dependent phenomena to be the basis, and imputed phenomena is that which is to be negated, and ultimate reality, ultimate truth, is what is left as a result of negating imputed phenomena, imputed nature. So of these three phenomena, then they speak about three natures, and according to in this way, then they try to understand the perfection of wisdom's teachings on the identitylessness or emptiness of all phenomena. So they say that the idea of identitylessness or emptiness must be interpreted differently in different contexts. So it is a contextual teaching. We can speak about the imputed phenomena as being devoid of identity of intrinsic reality. This is because they are pure constructs. And whereas the dependent phenomena cannot be said to be absent of intrinsic reality. Dependent phenomena does possess intrinsic reality. So that in the context of dependent phenomena, we must understand the identitylessness in terms of absence of independent production, causal, independent causation, and dependent phenomena come into being only as a result of other causes, other factors, and so on. So they do not, they are devoid of the nature that of coming into being from an independent causes. And then they interpret identitylessness in relation to ultimate truth in a different way, where identitylessness is understood in terms of absolute existence. And they say that this is how one must reinterpret the teachings of the Perfection of Wisdom, and that therefore the Perfection of Wisdom sutras cannot be accepted as literal or definitive. And they argue that because if on the other hand, we are to accept the literal reading of the Perfection of Wisdom sutras, then we will have to reject the notion of intrinsic reality across the board, or to entire spectrum of reality, which would include dependent phenomena. And dependent phenomena includes our subjective experience, our cognitions, our consciousness, and so on. So if we reject intrinsic reality of these, then there is simply no basis, and without any basis, one cannot speak about the emptiness of that thing or event. Therefore, rejection of and negation of intrinsic reality of dependent phenomena constitutes nihilism and negation of all three natures of reality. And so it is in this way they reinterpret the teachings of the Perfection of Wisdom sutras. However, from the point of view of the mind-only school, such a reinterpretation represents a misapprehension and lack of complete understanding of the Buddha's teaching on emptiness.
Naya. That's it. The Umobaliya Mabayadene. Shi Jing Shumne, soon Namjig Baga Chetam Jaloni, Moni Moduris, Jenny, other day, Ria Mabayadeva. Dagara, the Chetu Jibber Moni Moduris, Chetu Jibber 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 Moduris, 当朝了没办法去了呀当白活着的哎你当真在那我们寻个个人送下班的信息呢当真在那但你也没办法去其他那个我不看到看一呢当真在那没办法去在他这里没得在呢劝那么几西路一目下的抗都也没办法去抗都也没办法去是吧 Shenam Kangdunya Moduchi Tesam Shinne Lusha Chesata any Kangdunya Modubatella Le Chiam Minzimber Shavati any Nilu Commissary is Jenny Tonganese Jenny Le Ribuchaji Yamaris Jadi kata ini, tentang naya ini, cek cina cek kamera kah ini, pas zaman ni juga ada ini zaman, kamu tu yang maju tu, ini lu je yang minum ber, dah siapa na, dah la ini, dah kata lama la, tangpa panah cedu, ini tunggu kau masih ni, tanya siapa ni, anda cermin sih khusus tu dia, sendiri nanti dah jadi. 大家能信的，那个大部分到去哪了嘞？他要的，他他们讲把什么嘞？六个的，日夜精，人家有钱钱了，有还要买的，是要买的。那个我看不看呢？搞了细数么多，看都也没得，没得的呢。这样么多不行了，六，哎，太大多，这样没什么是下边呢？哎，你去年干嘛的？这就是为了，所以到底，刚才呢，这心情凶的。
Again, and there is another kind of misapprehension of the teachings of emptiness. For example, that although one may have tremendous admiration and interest in the teachings of emptiness of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, however, one's understanding of emptiness is developed in the following way, that when you subject any phenomena or all things and events to critical analysis, if we are to search for the true essence of things and events, we will come to realize that things, whatever phenomena it may be, things or events cannot withstand such critical analysis. We will discover that things and events sort of dissolve, as it were, if we are to search for some kind of true essence. And then because of this, that things and events cannot be found if we subject them to such critical analysis, then one maintains that that unfindability, that nature of not being able to find, constitutes the ultimate truth. And then what the individual should do in order to develop insight into emptiness is to let go of one's mind and free one's mind of any form of apprehension, any form of cognition of things, and that non-thinking, that non-cognition, then constitutes the true experience of emptiness, and that is a form of misunderstanding. And in fact, this is the standpoint that Lama Tsongkhapa himself, at one point, upheld in his early stages of study and development. And we find this standpoint presented by Tsongkhapa also in his Golden Rosary, which is a commentary on Abhisamaya Alamkara, and also in his retelling of the Bodhisattva Saraparavruttita's story in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. Tsongkhapa's retelling, poetic retelling of that story, we also find this is the understanding of emptiness he himself presents and the standpoint that he maintained. But again, the idea that ultimate nature of reality is this mere non-nothingness, this mere unfindability, and then one's engagement with that is simply a question of not apprehending anything, not cognizing anything, and a kind of a non-thinking. That is, again, from the point of view of a true understanding of emptiness, it is a false understanding. It's a form of misapprehension.
Jermisi namdana lolia ene kyumung shuwe kudulia ene tawade kongu tawade kongu shigyare usudirda ene kyumung ya shuwe kudude oda tawade kongu shigyare ene tsaliya peche ene tsaliya dos kasore shivji gudamare soshung ene shivji gudamare kudulia jermisi tanda tangana kugeda kangdoyan zimbabeba da ene chenung yinu 강도에 모두 것들라 려야 강도에 민심바 아니 아 도스냐바 샤샤게 땡인지 대가 저름시 냐바 샤니 아니 처처바 저름시 마침다 민주 처처 저름시 싫으니구마 고바시는 땅아 강도 저시도 냐바 샤니 아니 처처도 마침시 아니 민주 마 처처 사니 저름시 아다 가식 치리 쉬우도 와 아니 저게 참 쉬우디에 그래 지 치수 이니 민주 타냐자는 까와들이야 띵진 까왔어
So this understanding of emptiness, which is a misapprehension, that emptiness is nothing but, it's neither this nor that. It's this idea of nothingness, emptiness is nothingness, and also the one's engagement with emptiness is nothing but, it's a form of non-thinking, that you do not take into your thought any kind of thinking or any kind of apprehension or cognition. We find again in Tsongkhapa's biography, again in the early stages of his development, when he was at a place called Kyomo, and there one day he was in the prayer session with other monks, and in the prayer, in the congregation, they recited the Heart Sutra. And as the Heart Sutra was recited, Tsongkhapa contemplated and meditated on the meaning of the Heart Sutra. And since at that stage, his understanding of emptiness, the profound teaching of perfectional wisdom, scripture was that of this nothingness and non-meditation, non-thinking. He became so absorbed in his meditation that on this nothingness, that when he was actually leaning on a pillar. So when the prayer ended and everybody left, it is said that Tsongkhapa was still, you know, immersed and absorbed in this meditative state, and he wasn't aware that the prayer has ended and everybody has left. So later, this pillar became known as the pillar of meditative concentration, and it seems that Tsongkhapa was actually sort of in a kind of a blissful state, probably leaning on that pillar. So this is how we should understand the characteristics of the Perfectional Wisdom Sutra described in the verse 9, that as Sada Prarudita found, may I too be instructed in the meaning of transcendent wisdom, profound, tranquil, and non-dual, untainted by misapprehensions, muddy water. And then the next verse follows, which reads, may I never be swayed by evil friends and teachers of non-virtue who profess views of permanence and nothingness outside the profound thought of the Buddha. So we will now go back to the three principal aspects of the path.
나를 줄래 미술로 그 두개가 인도 두개 강급 나야 그 두개를 먼저 쳐고도 자다 제시 방도 용도 남아진 게 그거 차야리야 아니 또 준주심제 준주가 다 삼대를 올라 써봐 어다 니디 전주 생존 거다 담바 또 또래 다가는 신경 우물인지 참아 대대대다가다 흉먼 그 나라다 전주 생거 손이고 야래 시진 흉물이 우먼 죽벌이 다가는 신경 죽이다 남들이 먼 그 나라다 내부도 와 전에 다 이제 쪼로 돼 시는 그다 진조래 세시다 숙세시지 다 도시에 제시 보면 용도 나버지 로또비아디 도스토 아 다 되네 강둥이 강기 동네 강기 나래 다 동네 먼저 태하라 이게 다래야 아 되게 안 가사도 실사래 주가 초시 균지체 성이디 주가 초시 균지체 너가 이제 생활 담보로 더지 짜지다 보 머리 몸이 쓰면 이제 동네 균지체 나와 나라 다 되네 제심 방배 로 샤땡에게 내가 눈을 집에 만난 게 능주 삼네 심지어 깨버린 저 자기 소식
Then on verse 6, Tsongkhapa explains the need for generating the altruistic intention, bodhicitta. We read that renunciation, though, can never bring the total bliss of matchless Buddhahood unless it is bound by the highest wish. And so the wise seek the highest wish for enlightenment. So this verse explains the reason, the need for cultivating and generating the bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. And so when we speak about altruistic intention, the bodhicitta, we are talking about a state of mind that is endowed with two aspirations. One is the aspiration to be of benefit to other sentient beings, that is the altruistic aspiration. The other is the aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all sentient beings. So, bodhicitta is a state of mind that is endowed with these two aspirations. The altruistic aspiration, benefit to other sentient beings, is the cause of the bodhicitta. And this aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all sentient beings is what arises when you actually experience bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. So, so these two aspirations need to be cultivated separately. And for cultivating the aspiration to attain Buddhahood, of course, what is critical is to first to have some understanding of what is meant by enlightenment, what is meant by Buddhahood. And here, this is related to the notion of nirvana, spiritual freedom and liberation that we spoke about earlier. So once you have some understanding of what is meant by liberation or moksha, or a spiritual freedom, then you have you can extend that analysis to the possibility of attaining even complete enlightenment and total perfection. And here, furthermore, one needs to reflect also on such ideas as the notion of Buddha nature, the fact that all the afflictions of our mind, the emotional and mental afflictions, they are in principle removable, separable from the essential nature of mind because they are adventitious and that they can be removed. They are powerful antidotes opposing them. And so this is one important fact that needs to be contemplated on. Another fact is the idea that the potential, the seed for Buddhahood pervades all sentient beings. The Buddha nature exists in all of us by our innate nature. So the concept of Buddha nature, the teachings on the Buddha nature is directly relevant to the practice of bodhicitta and cultivation of this aspiration to attain Buddhahood. And as far as the teachings on the Buddha nature is concerned, we will find perhaps the most comprehensive and useful, beneficial explanation in Maitreya's Uttara Tantra or Ratna Gotra Vibhaga, which is the Sublime Continuum or Gyulama, and so which teaches all of these aspects of the theory of Buddha nature. And so it is in this way one develops and trains one's thought in cultivating this aspiration to attain Buddhahood. Now, as for the development of the aspiration, the altruistic aspiration, to be of benefit to other sentient beings, the key really is the practice of compassion. As Nagarjuna stated in Ratnavali, the precious garland, that the root of bodhicitta is compassion. And because what sort of give rise to the actual experience of bodhicitta is the sense of commitment and sense of responsibility, extraordinary sense of responsibility towards others. And that kind of extraordinary sense of commitment and responsibility towards others can only arise if you have realized what is called the great compassion, the universal compassion towards all sentient beings. And when we speak about compassion, compassion is a sentiment which aspires or which wishes other sentient beings, suffering sentient beings, to be free of their suffering. So in order to develop compassion, one needs to train in two aspects of compassion. Aspects of compassion. One is to try to develop and enhance a sense of closeness and sense of concern towards other sentient beings. Because the greater your concern towards other sentient beings, the greater your feeling of unbearableness towards other sentient beings and suffering. So there is a need to develop that, cultivate that aspect of compassion, which is the sense of closeness, sense of empathy and connectedness towards other sentient beings. And on that practice, the most important text really is the Bodhisattva, Bodhicharya Avatara, Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, which is the principal text that outlines the steps of contemplation that is necessary for